In a dramatic primetime hearing last night, the January 6th House Committee showed what President Trump did and did not do while a violent attack was unfolding at the U.S. Capitol. Here's Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger.
President Trump did not fail to act during the 187 minutes between leaving the ellipse and telling the mob to go home. He chose not to act.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Jesse Holland is the Sunday host of C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Hey, Jesse.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And Ron Elving is NPR's senior editor and correspondent. Hey, Ron.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
So I want to start, obviously, with last night's hearing, which was the final one in really the last 2 months of hearings from the January 6th committee. Ron, was there a moment in last night's hearing that when you're going to be looking back on this in weeks, months, years down the road, was there a moment that you're going to look back on and remember?
Yes, I think it was the moment when we learned that members of the Secret Service detail who were protecting Vice President Pence inside the United States Capitol started making calls to their family to say goodbye because they were that afraid that they were going to be the next targets of the violence of the protesters, the rioters, the people who were raging through the Capitol chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." And here are just a few people trying to protect Pence from that mob. And they were afraid for their own safety as well as that of the vice president.
We have that tape. Let's listen to it and a note that their voices are going to be altered for their protection.
It was disturbing. I don't like talking about it, but there were calls to say goodbye to family members, so on and so forth. It was getting, for whatever the reason was on the ground, the VP detail thought that this was about to get very ugly.
Jesse, what goes through your mind when you hear that tape?
When I hear that tape, it's still just shocking to me that we have a member of the presidential chain of command and the people who are paid to protect them, to give their lives for him, actually having to believe they might have to give their lives to other American citizens to keep the vice president safe. There is no way that we should have gotten to this point in this country where Americans were seemingly threatening the life of the second most powerful American in the United States. This is just another example of how far things got out of hand, and another example of when President Trump should have stepped in and called off his supporters, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, in her closing statement, Liz Cheney had strong words about Trump and how he weaponized his supporters' patriotism, saying that, you know, he violated not just his oath of office, but the trust and faith that his supporters put in him. I wonder, Ron, throughout these hearings over the last 2 months, I keep coming back to who is actually watching? Who is this breaking through to? Do you feel like, now looking at this closing statement that the committee made yesterday, that this has gotten through to Republican voters?
Perhaps not in the same way that it has gotten through to independents and to Democrats, but it has gotten through. There is no question but that the polls have moved. The NPR PBS Marist poll, released this week, shows that now about half the people in the country believe the president was responsible for this. A little more than half think he was responsible, and half think he is going to be, or should be, held responsible in terms of an indictment, a crime. Now, that is an astonishing statement and did not seem to be in the cards just a few weeks, months ago. Expectations are a big part of the game in Washington, and people were not expecting these hearings to be this meaty, to be this full of really memorable moments, to have this much Republican input, to have the Republican members of the panel so prominent, and to have so many of the witnesses be well connected to Trump as Republicans who were in the White House with him.
Jesse, I wonder if you have an opinion on whether these hearings have helped exacerbate any tensions between different camps in the Republican Party. I'm looking at what's happening here in Arizona today. The former president, Donald Trump, is holding a campaign event for a candidate for governor here. Mike Pence is also in the state campaigning for that candidate's opponent. Clearly an interesting split on display there. But how do you think all of this will play out in the primaries and in the next election between folks in the Republican Party?
Well, we've always known that there has been a strong never-Trumper wing of the Republican Party. But what we see happening, especially behind these January 6th commission hearings, is that the independents who supported President Trump are peeling away because of what they're seeing and hearing from this commission. Now, the interesting thing will be in Arizona, where we will see whether President Trump's endorsement versus Vice President Pence's endorsement will make a difference. In Maryland, President Trump's endorsement brought a candidate who many people did not expect to win, Dan Cox, into the finals of the gubernatorial race over the endorsement of the Republican governor of Maryland. So we still know President Trump has a following out there and has people who are willing to take his word on something. It'll be really interesting in a less blue state than Maryland, in Arizona, to see which wing of the Republican Party voters will go for, President Trump's endorsement or Mike Pence's endorsement representing the anti-Trump wing of the party.
And I do wonder whether some of the answer to how important Trump's endorsement will be over the next few years. Ron, how much of what comes out after these hearings in terms of what the Department of Justice chooses to do and whether there are more hearings, how much does that play into Trump's kind of shadow over the midterms and over the 2024 election?
You know, we're not necessarily going to have to wait very long to find out, Miles, because the indictment of the president could come down any time. It's possible that Attorney General Merrick Garland could do so on his own investigation's strength, because we know his department is investigating some of these same people. It's also possible he will wait for a criminal referral from the committee that conceivably could have come this summer. Now, perhaps it will be delayed because they're going to have more hearings in September, but that is not necessarily required. They don't have to finish all of their investigation before making a referral if they think that a referral is necessary and timely. So that is a possibility. I'm not predicting that it's going to happen at any particular time. We don't know that it's going to happen at all. But all of those things are playing into the conversation about the election. And President Trump himself is reported to be thinking about an early declaration for 2024 to make his campaign official. It's pretty much unofficially recognized that he's running in 2024, to make it official so as to make it more difficult for the attorney general to indict him. The policy of the department has always been to steer clear of any sort of involvement in a campaign that's actually an official campaign.
I want to shift gears here, because as the January 6th committee was doing its work, the rest of Congress was actually pretty busy today. This week, the House passed the Respect for Marriage Act that would cement federal protections for same-sex marriage with support from 47 Republicans. Here's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I want to bring this bill to the floor, and we're working to get the necessary Senate Republican support to ensure it would pass.
Oh, Jesse, what do you think about this bill? Does it have a path forward in the Senate? At first, it didn't seem so, but now, not so sure, is it?
We're not sure at all where this is going to go. One of the things that we can see here is that this is also a good Democratic push for votes as well, because we know, because of Justice Clarence Thomas, that the interracial marriage right and the gay marriage right that has been put forth by the Supreme Court is in danger in front of this particular court. They could go back and overturn those decisions at any time. So Democrats are pushing this forward. Now, Republicans are having to think carefully about what they do about this bill. Some wings of the Republican Party would love to see gay marriage overturned, but there are some wings that would not. So Senator Mitch McConnell is going to have to walk carefully with this one, whether he decides whether this is worth filibustering or not. So we don't know exactly where the Senate Republicans are going to be on this. We know some Senate Republicans are for passing this and putting interracial marriage and gay marriage into law. We don't know where the Republican voters are, and neither do Mitch McConnell right now. So we have to wait to see exactly where they go with this.
The other big political news of this week is that President Joe Biden did test positive for COVID-19 yesterday. He does appear to have mild symptoms, though we got news this morning that he had a mild fever last night. It has, Ron, been a national reminder, I feel like, for Biden's age. He's 79. He's the oldest president we've had. Do you feel like this kind of reminder and thinking so much about his health, is that going to play any role in his decision to run in 2024 and whether voters will support him?
It's hard to imagine that it would not play an enormous role in his decision and in the voters' decision both. I mean, we have never had an 80-year-old president. Joe Biden will be the first one, and he will reach that milestone in November. That means he will be 82 before his first term is over, or as his first term would be ending, and 86 after a second term. So it's very hard to imagine that he's really seriously. I know he has to say that he's running in 2024, but it's really hard to imagine that he isn't thinking seriously about hanging it up.
Ron Elving is NPR's senior editor and correspondent. Jesse Holland is Sunday host of C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.